Stanislavski maintained that the essential magic of creating a role is in knowing all the details of the character you are about to inhabit. A role is a moment in time in which we can glimpse the human condition from a unique perspective. This glimpse is constructed like an elegant portrait, a Rembrandt wash of ochres and burgundies that are layered over and over again with slightly different tones in order to reveal the movement of light as it hovers over the canvas. Preparation is to know everything about the world of the character you are playing. Where is the scene taking place? In a cell that is dark and wet? In a tropical country where perfumed smells are bursting from the branches? What animal is the character like? Is he hesitant? Does he breathe in quick bursts? Do his words tumble or are they finely drawn? Finally, a sensory portrait emerges, and through the mysterious cauldron of creativity, the performer becomes a link to the character, and the performance a tryst. Ultimately, the actor creates a rich, implicate order to bathe in. Every nuance of performance becomes parallel to the words that are actually said. The actor represents a story of person, place, and time. Every move he or she makes is inclusive of that many-leveled reality. The silences, the pauses, the turn of the head, the moment of looking upward, the move toward an object, all these gestural tones reveal to us nuances of meaning that become the underlying counterpoint to the text. If the character says, "I love you," and in that moment is looking out the window, this is a very different meaning than if the words are said directly to another person. So it is in life to dwell with the nuances of movement so thoroughly, so completely, that it is possible to walk the edge, catching a glimpse, flying without a net, listening, no maps, only with a light of preparation to guide you. A quote from Mei Wan Ho, a brilliant female scientist. Think of each organism as an entity that is not really confined within the solid body we see, which just happens to be where its wave function is most dense. Instead, invisible quantum waves are spreading out from each one of us and permeating into all other organisms. At the same time, each of us has the waves of every other organism entangled within our own makeup. The realization and maintenance of self and other are completely intertwined. The self is delocalized over all that we experience, just as all that we experience is entangled within our being. In a very real sense, no person is alone. No man is an island. We are not isolated atoms, each jostling and competing against the rest. No Darwinian struggle for survival of the fittest. Instead, each of us is supported and constituted, ultimately, by all there is in the universe. We are at home in the universe. In this entangled universe, we cannot do violence to our fellow human beings or our fellow inhabitants of the earth without doing violence to ourselves. And the most effective way to benefit oneself may be to benefit others. Most of all, we are not impotent observers outside nature, subject to the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Instead, we are participants in the creation drama, which is constantly unfolding. We are constantly co-creating and recreating ourselves and other organisms in the universe, shaping our common futures, making our dreams come true, and realizing our potentials and our ideals. End of quote. I am aware that currently there are all kinds of theories concerning personal boundaries. I honor these theories as having validity. But the question must arise, do boundaries have to be permanent walls? Are there appropriate times for boundaries and other times when they are not necessary? The problem with most forms of defensiveness is that they become permanent fixtures. Perhaps we can define a category called creative rapport, which can be seen as an overall facility that includes such disparate activities as acting and acceptation. I recall in my various dance classes that when I admired the way someone did a pirouette, I would enter their body and feel how they were experiencing the movement. My success as a model in New York was due to the fact that when I posed for artists, I was able to give them exactly the image they had in mind, which saved an enormous amount of time and energy for the artist as well as myself. Acceptation can be understood as an attribute demonstrated by another for a particular purpose that one draws to oneself, for the same or even another purpose. One could look at the octopus as a character in a play, where instead of words forming the script, we have movement. Well, what does an octopus have that we don't? As a movement person, there can only be one answer. Everything. The first phase of preparation, whether for performance or for acceptation, must have at its very source the ingredient of interest, purpose, admiration, and a kind of love. The magic of love's eyes opens chambers that those with a cold heart will never know. There must be a kind of delirious passion for what one sees that catapults us into an extraordinary state where everything pulsates with expectation. All of us have had these moments when we love a person or a piece of music or a sunset. The scene throbs with inspiration, and we are transported from the ordinary to the extraordinary. In order to move like an octopus, one absolutely must have a passionate love for pulsating, undulating tissue. One must see that in a constant shaping and reshaping, there is no permanence. Everything is in the moment. Everything is happening now. There is no past, only the effervescent present. Octomovement. As you can see, I have named a new movement category in honor of our eight-limbed friends.